Case number 08-1162, Laurel Bay Healthcare of Lake Lanier, Inc., Petitioner versus National Labor Relations Board. Mr. Roberts for the petitioner, Ms. Burdick for the respondent, Mr. Kappas for the intervener.
Good morning. Charles Roberts for the Laurel Bay employer. I would request 5 minutes for rebuttal. The National Labor Relations Board is a five-member agency appointed by the president with the advice and consent of the Senate. However, since January 1st of 2008, because of three unfilled vacancies, the board has been operating with only two members. We would respectfully submit that this practice is not permitted by Section 3B of the Act. This dispute centers around two key sentences in Section 3B. The first provides that the board is authorized to delegate to any group of three members any or all of the powers which it may itself exercise. Then later in the section comes the second key sentence, which says that a vacancy in the board shall not impair the right of the remaining members to exercise all of the powers that the board itself may exercise, and three members shall constitute a quorum of the board, except that two members shall constitute a quorum of any group of three designated pursuant to the first sentence. Now, we contend that read harmoniously, this section provides that the board's quorum is at all times three members, and that with fewer than three members, the board is disabled from issuing decisions, final decisions, and orders. However, as long as it has at least three members, it can continue to operate in panels of three, and two members constitute a quorum of any properly constituted panel of three. Now, the board does not dispute that it could not have directly delegated all authority to members Liebman and Schomburg to issue two-member decisions. It's contention that it could do so indirectly by delegating all authority to a three-member group 3 days before it would become a two-member group is unpersuasive.
Does it make any difference? Now, you stressed that in your argument, and it's also in your brief. Does it make any difference that they knew it was going to be a two-member group? I mean, suppose you just suddenly died into a two-member group. Wouldn't the law be the same either way?
I think the law is the same either way, except that we're dealing here with...
Your argument relies on the proposition, as I understand it, that the two members of the three-member panel had no power because the board could not have delegated... They could not be exercising delegated power from a board that itself had no power. Is that a correct statement?
Well, that's part of the argument, but the argument is also that the panel requirement and having delegated the authority to a three-member panel, which it had the authority to do, that delegation was effective or could be capable of being carried out only so long as there was in existence a three-member group. You know, once member.
But you mean a three-member board or a three-member group?
A three-member group.
So is it your position then that suppose they delegate to a three-member group, and the group. That panel proceeds to hear a case, and after 3 or 4 months, one of the members dies.
Well, in that scenario, then there would be a properly constituted group of three, and two members could constitute a quorum in much the same way that.
So, in that case, that would be okay.
That would be okay, but what we have here.
I don't understand your point. Then I thought that's why I thought what you were saying. I thought you were saying the defect here was that once the board's quorum drops below three,
well, I think
not even a delegee panel can function.
Well,
is that your point?
I think that's part of the
argument. But isn't that argument rejected by in Yardmaster? Didn't we specifically reject that argument?
Well, the authority itself, the authority that's delegated, is institutional in nature. And so, yes, to the extent that the majority in Yardmaster said that institutional authority that's delegated does not cease simply because certain members of the board...
So that can't be your argument. Your argument then has to be that under some circumstances, a delegation to a three-member group is ineffective if that group is no longer three members.
Well, that's the. I think in our brief we make that clear that's the essence or the primary essence of our argument is that.
But in view of Yardmaster, that has to be your argument, right? Because the other argument won't work.
Right. Our argument primarily is that the three-member panel that Congress specifically wanted and said so in 1947 when it amended Taft-Hartley was that it wanted the board. It was dissatisfied that the board was not acting in a judicial.
Yeah, I understand all that, but I'm trying to understand the limits of your argument here. You concede. You do say that if a member of a three-member group dies or otherwise becomes unable to act, that the two-member quorum requirement allows that panel to continue and decide the case, correct?
In the context of if that panel was properly constituted.
Well, this panel was properly constituted when the board had three members, didn't it?
Well, on December 28th, it had three members.
No, on December 20th, when it created this panel, it had three members, didn't it?
It had three members.
And the panel had three members.
Correct.
So there's nothing faulty about the creation of the panel.
Not in this in initial. The question is whether that panel continued to exist in any form that could carry out the delegated authority.
But I'm trying to understand what it is. You concede that a two-member panel can function, right, because of the quorum requirement.
In limited circumstances, it can function. It could not. The board could not create a two-member panel.
No, we understand that, but under. So if the person retires, and if the person dies or develops a conflict, right?
Yes.
Or gets ill, that panel can still hear that case and decide it, correct?
Yes, in that circumstance where you have a properly constituted three-member group.
Well, isn't that, okay, in this case, you conceded on December 20th, a properly sitting board of three members delegated its authority to a three-member group, correct? That was a lawful delegation.
It was capable of being carried out on December 28th or 20th.
Correct.
But they weren't deciding these cases at that time.
This case was pending at that time, wasn't it?
This case was pending before the board, but there's no evidence that it had been assigned to this three-member panel or that they were actively considering the case. Mm-hmm. And to the contrary, there's no contention that Member Kersenow, who departed on December 31st, that he had any decision. In other words, there's no evidence that this case was in the decision process at the time that Member Kersenow's term ended, and that he had participated in the case. This is a case where the board has, in essence, reconstituted itself as a two-member board for a sustained period of time. You know, that it's been operating in this fashion for the whole year of 2008. It's issued some close to 300 contested decisions during that time period.
And by the way, if we agreed with you about your theory, what would be the implications for all of those decisions?
Well, the vast majority, of course, are complied with voluntarily. Only a small fraction, less than 1 in 5, typically reach the Court of Appeals. I think in 2007 there were 68 total board cases that were decided by the courts of appeals. So a small fraction, those parties that comply with it voluntarily, there'd be no impact. But those that do contest it, in theory, the board lacked jurisdiction or lacked the power to issue the decision, then the decision would in essence be a nullity if the parties were to challenge it. I think the court only has jurisdiction to decide cases of final orders of the board, and if in fact this was not a valid final order of the board, then it couldn't be enforced by a court of appeals. But if the parties chose to comply with it voluntarily, which happens in the large percentage of the cases, then there would be no impact.
Counsel, are you not giving a different meaning to the word quorum in its two appearances in the next to last sentence of 3B? For the second appearance, you're saying that when the three to whom there's a delegation dropped two, they can't take on new cases. But they could have adjudicated old cases that came to them when they were a panel of three.
correct. Right. I think the two quorum provisions are separate because the quorum of the board at all times is three. And so there's no, I don't think there's any contention that the board itself has a quorum at this time. The contention is that they were able to do this by virtue.
No, but I'm just thinking about the meaning of the word quorum in the two different clauses. And as I understand it, quorum in the first part of that sentence, referring to the board as a whole, that is a power that enables a three-member board, a hypothetical three-member board, to take on new cases and adjudicate whatever. There's no limitation. There's a full power to do everything the board does. But when we drop down to the second level, the delegated group of three, the quorum, in your argument, the quorum clause works for cases that were sent to the panel when it was a three-member panel, but not for new cases.
Well, correct. I mean, the panel.
Well, but they are different meanings for the word quorum.
I think the quorum of the board is at all times three, and as long as it has three, it may continue to function as a board itself. The limited power to delegate to members to panels of three was intended to make the court or the board function more like the courts of appeals. And if they're actually
the argument basically is the first sentence of 3B limits the meaning of quorum in the except clause.
Say that again, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
I think you're saying that quorum as used in the second clause, the except clause of the next to last sentence, is limited by the fact that the first sentence of 3B provides for a delegation
absolutely
to three or more, not to three
the
or
board's,
fewer.
The board's sole authority is to delegate to three members, and so the quorum presumes that the second quorum, the except quorum, presumes that there is, in fact, a three-member group that is assigned to actively decide
the case.
That
existed here on the 20th. There was a three-member group with a delegation.
Yeah, it existed on the 20th, only, yeah, but not
at that time. The board delegated all of the powers of the board to that three-member group, right, or purported to.
That's correct. But
a quorum of that group still existed after the member, after the term ran out of the other member.
Well, the second quorum existed in the sense that there were two members of what purported to be a three-member group, but the three-member group no longer existed. I mean, it wasn't a matter of member Kersenow being sick or
ill. Your argument, deferring to the existence of Yardmaster, is that the size of the board is not what makes you a winner, but the size of the surviving members in the three-member group.
That's correct. It's the size of the group. I mean, because
yes, so
just the same as this court.
Even if there were four members left on the board, but only two members left on the group, it couldn't function this way?
No, it could not. It'd have to, of course, it could redelegate the group. It could reconstitute the group as three at that time. The problem here is they're unable to do that. There's no ability to reconstitute itself as a three-member group. I've only got about 2 minutes left. If there's, you know, unless there's questions at this moment, I'd like to reserve that for a rebuttal. Thank you.
Unless there are questions. Seeing none, we'll hear from the board.
May it please the Court, Ruth Burdick, appearing for the National Labor Relations Board. I'd like to dive right into the discussion that the Court's now having and point out that the flaw in the company's argument at this point is that the Board, in fact, delegated all powers to the group and was acting as the Board, and there was no specific reason why there would be a necessary case assignment made to this individual case.
Hasn't the Board, through this process, essentially converted the board from an entity that has a statutory quorum requirement of three to one with a statutory quorum requirement of two?
No, Your Honor, respectfully.
You have the board, the National Labor Relations Board, now operating with two members, right?
That's correct.
The statute says it has a quorum of three.
The statute has both a general rule for quorums and an exception for two-member groups. There's two different quorum provisions under different circumstances, and here the board delegated.
But the delegation to a three-member panel with the quorum requirement for that seems to me was obviously designed to make sure that a panel that was hearing the case before it could decide the case if they lost one of their members.
But, Your Honor,
there's no indication that I haven't found anything that suggests that that authority was put in the statute to allow the board to circumvent the requirement of a three-member quorum.
Well, here,
under your theory, this panel could operate indefinitely, correct?
Mm-hmm. Under your theory, as long as the two remaining,
as long as these two remaining are on, yes, it can operate indefinitely.
That's correct.
Even and it can hear cases that were not assigned to it initially, correct?
Well, because it's acting with all of the powers of the board, and if it was a three-member board, it would not need to assign a case to itself. Here we have a statute.
Why would Congress have
says
done that?
Any and all powers.
Why did Congress put the three-member quorum requirement in the statute if it had intended this result?
Well, here we have legislative history that indicates that the board in 1947, under the scheme that Congress set out, was able to then replicate itself as the original board done, and as the original board had decided cases.
Let's take care of in the first sentence, right? Mm-hmm. In other words, it allows a delegation to three, so that parallels what was going on in the pre-47 era, right? A fraction, slightly more than half, of the board can do its business fine.
In the 1947, Congress made clear that its intent was to allow the board to operate in several different boards to decide cases,
and in this sense,
gave the board a broad discretionary delegation ability.
But the delegation is to any group of three or more, not to any group of three or fewer.
It's to three or more, and two of us
three
is
more.
A quorum.
Well, try it this way.
Yes, Your Honor.
On December 20th, a properly convened board delegated all of its authority to a three-member group, right?
That's correct.
Okay, but isn't it's crystal clear that at the time the board did that, it knew that that three-member panel group, would have three members only for 2 weeks, right? It knew that.
Yes.
It also knew that all of its future decisions would be by a group of two.
As long as there was continuing vacancies.
No, it knew. But it knew that until there was new members appointed, it knew, number one, that 2 weeks after it did this three-member group would be a two-member group, correct?
That's correct.
And it knew on that date that that two-member group would, for the foreseeable future, be deciding cases correct?
That's correct, yes. And the board feels that it is expressly authorized to do so under the express terms of the Act. And
so an authority in the statute which allows the board to delegate to a three-member group, the board believes includes delegating to a group that it knows will only have two members.
Yes, Your Honor, because it allows the board to delegate all powers to a three-member group, and the three-member group would...
No, I understand that. I don't understand why. I understand your argument about delegating all authority, but why does a provision in the statute... I'll just try once more. Why does a provision in the statute which allows the board to delegate all of its authority to a three-member group also include the authority to delegate to a group that the board knows within 2 weeks will only have two members?
The statute in no way restrains the board's discretion under the circumstances.
It says it can delegate to a three-member group, but the board knows it's delegating to a group that will not have three members. That's what the statute says. The statute says, the board is authorized to delegate to any group of three or more members. Now, when it did this, it knew this group would only have two members in 2 weeks.
But at the time, it was three members.
But it knew at the time it made this that it would only have two members in 2 weeks.
Yes, and it would then be operating as a two-member board quorum under the terms of Section 3B.
Can I give you a hypothetical?
Yes, Your Honor.
Suppose the chief judge is very worried about judges of our court working too hard, having too much work to do.
I've been very concerned about it.
And so he sets up a system by which panels of three are created, and then systematically, one judge drops off each panel, and so cases then go to two-judge panels. panels. We know that a two-judge, when a panel of three hears a case and one dies or something, the two can decide it, fine. But he does this, and then, of course, the drop-off judge then is assigned to other panels, and so what you have, effectively, is a whole bunch of two-judge panels operating indefinitely. Okay?
Yeah. Well, they, under the
Gouin?
Excuse me.
Is it okay?
Under your statute, no, the judicial.
What makes that lawful? And if that's unlawful, why is this lawful?
The judicial panel statute is different in nature than the Section 3B.
How does the difference help you?
Excuse me?
How does the difference help you?
How does the difference help me? Well, here the board can delegate any and all powers in the judicial context.
Three. The statute here enables the board to delegate to three. The statute for judges directs delegation panels of three. How does that distinction help you?
Well, the cases that have interpreted the judicial statute require that three judges be on the panel at the time of case assignment. There's no such requirement under the NLRA. Here we have
that's much broader, right?
No, the delegation authority that Congress gave the board is much broader than Congress
Is it broader to say that the board may delegate to three than a statute for the judiciary, which says that the Court of Appeals should delegate to panels of three?
Well, obviously, there's a requirement in the judicial statute, and in Section 3B, it's a discretionary ability.
It's not a discretion to drop below three, which it is in your analysis.
Well, the continuing nature of these sorts of institutional delegations, as pointed out in Yardmasters, continues despite changes in personnel.
No, you misread Yardmasters on that issue. That talks about the effectiveness of the delegation continuing after the delegating group drops below some number. Here we're talking about the delegee group dropping below the requisite number.
Yes, and our act has a vacancy provision that then allows if there's a vacancy.
The vacancy provision surely is limited by the first sentence, limiting the degree of delegation.
Well, that's not actually there's nothing specifically limiting the vacancy in, provision in that, and it's linked by sentence to the.
Your argument essentially is that one can use some combination of the second quorum provision with the delegation to produce de facto a delegation which is totally different from the delegation provided for in the first sentence. Totally different.
In my view, those are not different. And here, the board proceeded cautiously and on the basis of the OLC's memo that also had the same view
That's not binding on us.
It's persuasive authority.
Great respect for OLC.
It's binding on us. It's persuasive authority to you, yes.
I accept that.
And
could the board delegate all of its authority to a panel of two?
No, that's not proper.
Right. Well, isn't that what's happened?
No, the delegation on December 20th that was then.
Yeah, but the effect, the practical consequences of this is to have delegated all of its authority to a panel of two.
Well, Your Honor, it seems to be that the court has concerns about the minority decision making, and I just want to point out that other cases of other agencies has been similar results of minority decision making in these 11th hour.
Statute?
Excuse me? No, of course not.
You mean Yardmaster?
Both Yardmaster's, the SEC case.
Yeah, but in Yardmaster. Number one, the statute authorized delegation to one person, right?
Yes, it
did. And number two, that person still was functioning at the time of the case, whereas here the three-member panel no longer is.
Well, as the dissent's primary concerns in that case were that statute allowed delegation, but only a portion of duties. Here we have all powers, and that was one of the concerns of Judge Walden's dissent. And secondly, we have a quorum here. We have a quorum provision of two. There, a quorum provision was two, and they dropped below that. So, of course, there was concerns that arose.
Isn't it a bigger difference that there the delegee still existed, whereas here the delegee no longer does? The three-member group no longer exists.
Yes, Your Honor, but the general principle of administrative law that Yardmasters applies is broad enough to encompass both. And here we also have a vacancy provision that would, if if the reading of the statute that you're positing at the moment were put into place, the very effect would be to impair the remaining members from operating,
and
which is exactly what Congress intended.
And maybe that's exactly what Congress intended with its three-member quorum requirement.
The board's view of the express meaning of Section 3B is that there's a general rule of three, except where powers have been delegated to a group of three, and then the quorum is of two. And with a vacancy provision then allowing the board to continue operating despite that subsequent additional vacancy. So the board's views of this Section 3B gives effect to each section. On the other hand, the companies would require this court to read improperly a requirement that there both always be a two-member quorum and a three-member quorum, and there is no such requirement.
First sentence. It doesn't give much effect to the first sentence, does it? Or more specifically, the language three or more in the first sentence.
I'm sorry, which sentence? I'm sorry, Your Honor.
First sentence of 3B.
The delegation sentence?
Right.
I'm not sure if I understand your question.
Well, under your reading, the delegation through a device can be made to two, which is not three or more.
The delegation here clearly was made to a three-member group that existed for a period of time.
That the yes. group of three, would, group of four actually, would very shortly become a group of two.
Yes, and that's allowed
that's
under...
That's very like my hypo on Judge Santel's effort to reduce our workload.
And the board believes that both the principle that the delegation is continuing in nature despite personnel changes, as well as the fact that our vacancy provision would bar that result, is that it fully empowers the board to continue to operate as a two-member quorum despite the additional vacancy.
If there's no further questions, then we'll hear from the intervener.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel. Morning, Mr. Kappas.
Morning. I'm Jim Kappas here for Local 1996. The first sentence, I think the first sentence is key to focus on at the beginning, because it's clear that what Congress has done in the first sentence is allow the board to delegate all of its powers to a three-member panel, to a three-member group. In other words, it can put the three-member group in the position of the original three-member labor board under
but
the Wagner Act.
But can it do that when it knows at the time of the delegation that that three-member group will, within 2 weeks, become a permanent two-member group?
Yes, and the reason why is this, because, right. and it has a little bit, I think history helps in interpreting the literal yeah. words of the statute. Under the Wagner Act, the vacancy language was in the statute that a vacancy shall not impair the power of the members, and there was a two-member quorum requirement for the original three-member board. The original Wagner Act board frequently dropped to two members and in that state continued to issue decisions. Mm-hmm. And when Congress expanded the number of members of the board to five, it clearly anticipated that the board could replicate the original three-member
right.
board, and it brought over the language from the original act saying that a vacancy shall not impair the power of the remaining members. So I think the clear effect of the vacancy provision is to say, sure, the original setup is it's got to be three, but if a vacancy should develop, that will not disable whatever the powers of the board are.
Right, then, but that's I understand that. But my question was a situation like here where the board delegates to a three-member panel, which it knows will have a vacancy in 2 weeks.
Yes.
That's what's happened here.
Yes, that's right.
Right. I mean, it knows the vacancy will occur.
That's right.
And that two-member group will continue to function as if it was the board.
In terms of the statutory scheme, I don't think that there's anything improper about that. The board knows that a vacancy will develop, and the statute says a vacancy will not disempower the remaining members. Mm-hmm. So the vacancy problem is addressed. The delegation was done by a board with four members, meeting the full quorum requirement for board action. Having taken place, the three-member group stands.
It just seems to me that there's a big difference between reading a statute that's obviously designed to allow a properly configured panel to continue functioning if it has a vacancy in a case, and then using that provision to create a panel that the board knows, because of a vacancy to occur within 2 weeks, will permanently be a two-member board.
Well, I think that's because the court is understandably focused on cases rather than powers, but the federal statute, as board counsel has pointed out, is different, and it's quite clear that that cases are assigned to judicial panels. But here the statute says any and all powers. There's no question that the statute means for the three-member group to stand in the position of the original three-member labor board. And that board, Congress knew, functioned with vacancies because it was given permission to function with vacancies. And this court and the
More importantly, Congress intended the three-member panel to exercise the powers of the five-member board.
That's right, but it stands in the position. It is the equivalent of the labor board. I mean, there's nothing to stop the labor board from...
Well, let me pursue, I think, what the Chief Judge was just saying. It says any group of three or more, right?
Yeah.
So under your theory, could the five-member board delegate all its authority to it, and then it would be able to function with a two-member quorum?
Well, I suppose. I don't
Well, but no, you can't. No. What do you mean you suppose? Under your theory, that's exactly what could happen.
Well, I mean,
right?
Well, let me put it another way.
Would it then be governed by the quorum for the five-member board, where there would have to be three members?
No, it says.
Well, I mean, I guess you could say it's not really functioning as a.
My question was, the full five-member board delegates its authority to a, quote, group of three or more members that include all five of them. And then that triggers the exception, which says that except that two members shall constitute a quorum of any group designated pursuant to the first sentence, which I just relied on.
I don't know. I'm having a little trouble conceptualizing how that works. I mean,
I don't think
it's clear that if there are five of them, they can delegate to a three-member group.
But it says three or more.
Well, but if they do it to three, only two of them need to participate. So you still have the same problem of two people deciding cases while you've got five people on the board. I think
that's my point.
The problem is that it seems to me to say that this panel, this group is disabled by a vacancy is to read the vacancy language out of the statute. And the vacancy language clearly applies to both the board and the group. That's why they're all in the same sentence. And in the Yardmaster's case, this court explained what similar vacancy language does under the Railway Labor Act. The court explained when a certain number of members are specified, one may wonder, do you have to have all three members in the case of the NMB?
And I'm wondering, though, how you deal with Judge Tatel's hypothetical. If the board, instead of saying, suppose you had a full five-member board,
right,
you know that three of the terms are about to expire, you delegate all the powers to a committee composed of all five members, a group composed of all five members, and then, using the literal language of the last sentence, two members shall constitute a quorum of a group designated person of the first sentence. You just exercise it because you are a two-member quorum of a formerly five-member board.
I just don't think it makes any difference, because the what's happening is all of the powers of the board, that's the thing that's a little difficult, I think, to get a handle on here. Congress clearly means for these groups to possibly stand in the position of the board, and they say you can do it with three, and they also say that vacancies don't disempower the remaining members. So if you say a vacancy, if you say Member Kersenow's vacancy somehow disables this panel, you're reading the vacancy language.
Well, but I'm not sure that's right. It says the statute uses two different terms. It uses the term board and the term group, right?
Right.
And this sentence says a vacancy in the board, okay?
Yes.
Shall not have an effect.
Right.
Yet with respect to a group, the only provision that's operable here is except that two members shall constitute a quorum of any group.
Well, I think that's not right for two reasons. One is that the group is comprised of board members, so any vacancy on the group is going to be a vacancy on the board. And secondly, if you look at the structure of the last sentence, it's quite clear that the reason the vacancy language is put in the same sentence as the two quorum provisions is that the quorum provisions are meant to be a limitation on the vacancy provision. So that they're saying a vacancy on the board will not deprive the remaining members of the power, except if you're going to function as the board, you've got to have three members. If you're going to function as a group, you've got to have two members. There would be no reason to have the two clauses in the same sentence if they didn't apply.
May I take my judicial hypothetical and extend it directly to the board? So suppose the board with five members delegates to a panel of three, then one member of that panel drops off. Then the board delegates to another group of three, including the leftover from the first panel. So now it's operating on two panels nominally of three, but there happens to be one who, for purposes of the first panel, isn't there at all. Okay? Perfectly okay?
Yeah.
I think on your theory, that's absolutely fine.
What does it mean to drop off? You mean that they then
I don't know. I mean, when we recuse ourselves, we do something specific. There must be some equivalent way for a board member to say, I no longer serve on the panel designated December 20th.
Well, it's clear enough. I mean, the quorum means how many people you need to act. So once the panel is designated, if the third member doesn't show up, the two can act.
And not only doesn't show up for a particular case, declares I'm off that panel. My duties on panel B are too exhausting.
I suppose if it's a formal matter, they say whether it's no longer a three-member group, that might be a problem. But
they say it was no longer a three-member group. Isn't that exactly the issue?
Well, no,
it's no longer a three-member group.
It's not because of a vacancy. It's because, I mean, it's not a vacancy on the board that's caused that. It's because
vacancy
the group has
the group. It's a vacancy in the group.
Well, the vacancy in the group would also be a vacancy in the board. I mean, if
not a vacancy in the board, he's still a member of the board.
Well, then maybe that would be a problem. Maybe it's not a vacancy in the board.
It's a vacancy in the group. You want to treat a vacancy in the group as exactly the same as a vacancy in the board.
Well,
that's central to your argument. But in my hypothetical, you want to move off that.
Well, it is. It is in this case. The whole point is that the person has left the board and they're no longer there on the group. I mean, the quorum provision is clear that once you've delegated the powers to a group, two members can act. There need to be three members when you do the delegation. There were three members when the delegation was done here. I get the feeling that there's a sense that there's something improper about this. But it seems to me clearly what Congress intended, to allow the board to function as it had under the Wagner Act.
I want to make sure what your answer is to my hypothetical about essentially the board creating what amounts to a three-member panel and a two-member panel, though the two-member panels had a momentary history as a three-member panel. Your position is that that is okay or not okay?
If they delegate to a three-member group, two members can act for the group, for the powers that have been delegated.
And a member of the first group of three who declares dispositively he is not going to participate in its activities, how is that person counted?
Well, as a member of the group. I mean, that's what a quorum
still
means.
He's still a member of the group.
That's what a quorum means. A quorum means the number of people you need to
okay.
to
so, be so you want my hypothetical to come out the way you want this case to come out?
Yes. But I think the thing is, I get
a strange picture, right?
Well, it's not strange if you think about the history of it, and if you think about the way the first sentence is written. It's clear that Congress means to allow the board to replicate the original Wagner Act board.
Not exactly.
Pardon me?
Not exactly.
And not exactly in what sense?
Yeah. They didn't make it a five-member board for nothing.
No. In normal times, it's a useful thing. They did it so there'd be more people to do work. Is the reason they said they did it.
Do you agree with counsel for petitioner that although this particular case was pending at the board at the time of this delegation, it hadn't been assigned? It wasn't assigned to the panel while it still had three members?
I don't know how the case assignment would
work. You don't know the answer to that?
The delegation was to do everything the board could do. It wasn't the delegation.
No, but you don't. So you just don't know. But you
well, the delegate, we know.
No, I'm not asking about that. I know what the delegation was. The case was pending on December 20th, 2007, right?
Yes.
Before the board.
Yeah, it's been pending for a long time.
And by the time that Mr. Cursino dropped off, between the time of the appointment of the panel and the time he dropped off, was this case assigned to that three-member panel?
As a particular case?
Yeah.
I doubt it. I think that this is because the delegation was to do everything.
Right.
I doubt that this, I don't think that it's likely that this was separately assigned to the three-member panel as a case.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to keep in mind the difference between delegations to Court of Appeals panels.
No, I hear your point. I understand your point about that. Right.
I've gone way over my time. I'm happy to answer.
But that's our fault and not yours.
Okay, thank you.
The late Judge Spotswood Robinson used to say that the lights control the bar. Only God can control this bed. All right, how much time did petitioner have left? I'll give you back 2 minutes for rebuttal.
Just quickly, would like to address a couple of points. I think the hypothetical that Judge Williams posited is essentially, you know, what we have here is we have a situation where the board has delegated its authority to a three-member group, knowing that the group would no longer exist. And I think that a group in the statute is different from the board. A three-member group is not the equivalent of the board, and in the sense that the board itself has a quorum of three at all times. The three-member group's authority is limited by the delegation. And so the delegation power is specific to three members and not to two members. I'd also like to make it clear that Congress clearly was not satisfied with the way the board was operating under the Wagner Act. I mean, that was the whole purpose of Taft-Hartley was to address what it perceived as a litany of evils in the way the board acted. It took away its prosecutorial functions. It separated those out. It required that the board members actually make the decisions themselves instead of their staff. It did increase the size of the board in order to make it more productive, but also to make it more judicial. It specifically expressed a desire that the board conform its practices to the courts of appeals. And I think that's why we think that Section 46, 28 U.S.C. Section 46 is so material, because the parallels between that statute and this statute are very similar. The fact that the board decides, or that the court decides cases, is not really any different than what the board does. The board decides cases on a case-by-case basis, and each case stands on its own merits. So in that sense, if as is conceded, the court could not operate as a two-member court, even if the two judges were properly constituted, then it seems clear that the board itself, once the group disappears, that the group no longer exists. So we would ask that the board's decision be vacated and set aside. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, counsel. The case is submitted. I think we could probably profitably take a short recess. Did you have something else, Mr. Cupp?
No, I just...
Oh, okay. Take a short recess.